Welcome to the Making Connections podcast with your host, Spencer Raposo. This podcast was made to interview current registered kinesiologists in Ontario and talk to them about what they do and where they see the future of the profession going. The goal of the podcast is to get a conversation going about kinesiology as a regulated health profession in Ontario. Each episode, we will bring on a new guest with loads of experience as an RKIN that will share their story and any advice for any new RKINs and kinesiology students about current opportunities in the field. In this episode, I interview Jamie Glassman, a registered kinesiologist and self-proclaimed movement maven. For the last 7 years, she has been frustrated watching people feel bad, defeated, and angry about their body. After taking numerous continuing education courses, she finally realized her mission. Her mission is to help as many people as she can become more aware of their body, become educated on pain, and make movement easier. Today, we talk about her journey of self-discovery, the number one way to best help people, the future of kinesiology and how it will be led by its entrepreneurs, and the different influential people she recommends for any kin. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Spencer.
How's it going today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. So I'm so happy this is finally working. I know we had a couple technical difficulties kind of leading up to this one.
Yeah, we did. That's okay. I'm always excited to continue to talk about what we do anyway. So I'll do as many chances as I can get.
So again, welcome to the Making Connections podcast. And again, thank you for coming on. I know that even based on our last conversation that we do have like a lot to kind of talk about and kind of chat about. So I want to kind of get right into it and kind of let you take the floor and kind of let everyone know about how long you've been in RKIN. And then after that, kind of starting from the very beginning, kind of your background story to kind of led to where you are now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's always dangerous giving me full rein because I could talk forever. But I've been a registered kinesiologist for 7 years, and my background actually started when I was teaching karate when I was in high school. So I took karate for 12 years and taught for 3, and ever since I started teaching karate, it just, every single day was the best day, no matter whether I was sick or I had a headache or I had a really bad day. Like, going into the dojo was always just like, would just make me feel better, make me feel good. I'd always feel uplifted just with the energy of the people around me, being able to teach something I loved. And I just loved it so much. And it was just everything. And then I went to university and learned about kinesiology and all sorts of different biomechanics and neuromuscular physiology. And it was amazing. And it was so cool to learn about all of these different ways that the human body can work and be influenced and also get better if we actually have the right tools. And it was really inspiring to me. But then you leave school and you're like, well, how do I function as a human being now? Like, now I was teaching before without any of these rules, and now I have all this information. So how can I go back to teaching the way that I did? And I finished school and was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be a kinesiologist. Like, what does it even mean to practice as a kinesiologist? And I graduated in 2013, so around when the college was kind of starting to be. But I found the Humber College program, Exercise Science and Lifestyle Management. And that really just kind of pivoted the whole trajectory of my career, because it taught me everything that I needed to know to actually practice as a kinesiologist, really starting to kind of spike my interest in how to use everything that I learned at Guelph to be able to pivot and actually be able to function as a kinesiologist in a clinic, in a hospital, in a gym space. And it was just the tip of the iceberg, especially because I think I did the third sitting of the kinesiology exam at all. So that was a really interesting experience because it really started the profession for me in terms of being regulated and what that means and what that comes with. So even after you finish school and then you become regulated, there's a whole new host of rules where you're just like, okay, like now I have to follow all these rules, but I barely know what to do. So I took every course under the sun. And it was just such a great experience to be able to learn through all of these different ways. So I took kinetic link training, I took resistance training specialist courses, I took the metric functional capacity evaluations course, which was really awesome. I actually went all the way to, I think it was like Waterloo, and I paid for a group class. I think that was like 6 or 7 years ago at this point, and met with Kevin Caron, who is the owner of Metric, and had like a one-on-one course with him because it just happened that way. And I was super lucky to be able to learn directly from him. I also took Joga, which is yoga for athletes, essentially. That's created by this woman named Jana. And she basically broke down the biomechanics of how she teaches this way of yoga, which is for athletes and which is essentially yoga for tight people. So I've been able to pull that into my practice as well, especially with people that are injured, that need modifications, that may not have learned how they need to feel their body through a yoga practice or through stretches even, and what that means for them and being able to break that down for them. And with throughout this time, I worked in gyms, I worked in startups, I worked in already existing businesses. I worked in like insurance, doing disability case management as well, which is another, you know, really like pop, like prevalent job right now. And also most of my experience has been clinical. So I worked for a physio clinic for 3.5 years, almost 4, give or take, because I left and then came back. And it was just such a great experience to be able to work with such a strong team, especially when you're starting out, being able to have the opportunity to practice as like your own entity, but also have the support of like a really strong chiro, physio, massage therapist behind you to ask questions to be able to collaborate on patients with and really grow as a professional to really start to kind of take risks and learn at your own pace, but also accelerated because you kind of have to just get right into it once you start working. And I would see anything from like 8 patients a day to 26 patients was my busiest day for half an hour, every hour. Sorry. Yeah. 2 patients every half an hour, all day. So you learn really quickly. And now where I'm at is I working in the clinic, there was only so much I could do to help people. I was seeing, as I said, 1 to 2 patients every half hour all day. And you can only extend yourself so far. And I kept thinking there has to be a better way in order to help people. There has to be a better way in order to give people the confidence and, you know, excitement about exercise without needing to like be there in person all the time in order to teach them how. And how do you get them to comply? And how do you get them to do all the exercise in the way that you need them to? And I'd create plans and create options and create different things for people. But at a certain point, I only had so much time for every single patient to be able to give them the same amount of quality work outside of seeing them in person. So I left my clinic job about a year ago. And since then, I've worked in a bunch of different jobs. I've done fitness testing for firefighters, which is really cool to see that like maximal effort testing environment. I've done some online coaching and building online programs right now. And now I work with a company called Modus Training Studio. So it's a gym in the West End in Toronto that I work with to kind of build out our kind of pain clinic. But I also run online programs under the pseudonym, the Movement Maven. So I'm trying to create kind of onboarding programs and also options for people that might not be able to see me in person to really get the consistency and access to me that I would be able to provide them as a kin and with my experience to get them better and get them moving forward.
Yeah. What I wanted you to dive into a little bit was maybe your experience with like in the insurance and what you liked about and what you didn't. I know last day we talked a little bit about that. And then after that, I was going to kind of go a little bit into kind of what exactly you kind of do more with the Movement Maven. Like, I know you have a lot more like online programs, webinars, but I'll kind of start first with kind of your experience in kind of insurance so people can hear that part.
For sure. And it's such a big job right now. Like it's something that kinesiologists can do like right out of school once they've registered. And it gave me a lot of really awesome education on kind of where people are at in terms of their recovery and how it impacts their ability to function. And that's really where it comes down to. It's basically what are their functional capacities and how does that relate to their physical demands? And does that constitute disability? And that really is like a standard understanding in the insurance and the function world of can people actually function and what do they need in order to be able to do the physical demands of their job. And what's really interesting is I got to learn a lot about that in school and occupational biomechanics and ergonomics. I s took that course with Steve Brown, and he was the most excited person I've ever met about occupational biomechanics and ergonomics, which is something that's not necessarily the easiest thing to get super excited about. But I was so inspired by him because he was just so passionate about it. And that really kind of showed me a lot about, and it really relayed over into being in that kind of role because you really learn that the jobs that we have are not made for our functional capacity because all of our functional capacity is completely different depending on what we need. And you'd think, oh yeah, they're sitting all day for work. We can all do that. But we all know as kinesiologists how that wears down our body over time. And if we're not moving, we're going to lose it. So we need to be able to train our body to be able to do the things we want to do, but also just to function on a level that we don't kind of break down as rapidly as our body or gravity wants us to. So I thought that that was really interesting. And on top of that, you kind of learn about all sorts of different things about mental health. You learn about illnesses and physical disabilities and physical illnesses that you may not necessarily get access to when you're working in a clinic or working with people one-on-one and really seeing how it all kind of fits together because it was over the phone most of it. So you kind of really learn about how you can help people and really be able to create what is it? To create actual options for people to go back to work. And it was all essentially a kind of return to work. I feel like I fantasized it a bit just because I'm excited about all the stuff I learned, even though it was not a job for me at all, nor would I ever do it again. But
Yeah, I remember because before you were talking about how you did enjoy it at the beginning, and then near on the back end of it, you're kind of okay, this isn't for me. I need to kind of work with people in person to help them.
And that's kind of where I'm at now is I'm at that point where I've learned so much in terms of being able to work with people, and I've gone through my own personal growth in terms of kind of figuring out how to manage your own emotional stress and wellness when you're also extending yourself to other people in pain. And it was a lot, and I'm an emotional person, so I like connecting with people. And when I can't help people the way that I want to, it's very disheartening for me. So it took away a lot of that for me over time. So now I'm at that point that I want to help students figure out what the right path for them is and also help them figure out the next path as well. And I've been doing webinars on kind of right now I've done two. I did one a week and a half 2 weeks ago now on kind of shoulder assessments and how to communicate effectively with your patients about expectations. I find that that's the number one thing about really being able to kind of help people is setting their expectations about what they have to do to get better. Because a lot of the time there's that understanding or people think that they just need to do one thing and that's going to fix their whole problem. But we know that the human body is so complex that they need to make more regular changes in order to have a change in how their body functions. Now people want that instant gratification, so that makes it challenging. But how do you set those expectations at the beginning to say, this is what we need to do, but this is what you need to do as well in order to make it easier for us to progress? And I use a lot of humor in my practice. I use a lot of my personality because that kind of makes it a little bit, it kind of disarms people, especially when they're in pain. The hardest part when they're in pain is the last thing they want to do is move. So teaching them to move in a way that feels safe and feels supported, but also can progress them towards a place that they also have that support to move forward. I find even when they feel like they're moving back, I feel like that's been really helpful for me. So I just want to share all that experience. And then on top of that, I also did, and also for the assessment piece, it's being able to hear someone's whole story and understand how the biomechanical impacts of how someone's injury from 10 years ago could have shifted how they function and have adapted their body to where it is now. And that's why they're in pain. Or just being having that injury and then sitting a lot for work and not being able to feel their body and really recover, or not having proper injury like rehab, or not being able to learn how to exercise for their bodies early enough in life, or even as they progressed through without any injuries, or as life happens, whatever. So there's lots of things that I find that even just listening to people and really hearing their stories and being that safe space for people to feel like they can be themselves and really be able to give their full-hearted consent to the information that they share and put it in a trusting hand is something that's so important for their longevity and their future. And that's kind of what I want to get across in terms of teaching people exercise. I was always looking for the answer. Like, what's the right way to do it? I don't want to do it unless I know I'm going to do it perfectly and I can help people the most. And that's not, that doesn't exist. And I've learned that over time. And people will tell you this is the best way, this is the right way. And that's the right way for them and for their patients and their demographic. And the more I've learned about business, the more I learn about different types of people respond to different things. And no one injury is the same, even if two people have it. And because what they do in their time is going to be different. So being able to teach someone one exercise and have that be their homework, because that's what they can process and that's what they can mentally and physically have time for and tolerate, versus someone that, you know, is a little bit more ambitious and wants to be able to kind of get back to their workout routine, but maybe needs a little bit of help taking a step back and getting there a little bit slower so they can maintain that level of performance, then you need to be able to kind of adapt to those people. And then my most recent webinar was about how all the initial exercises that I would teach someone and why, and how I teach them and what I look out for and what are like the pain, like if someone has a certain level of pain, what would you kind of do first? What would you avoid doing? Stuff like that. So it's a lot of information. I didn't even get to stretching, which is a whole hour in itself, but it's really exciting to be able to share everything that I've learned and all the experience I've had working with mainly motor vehicle accident patients, where they could be 2 weeks post their injury and barely know what their injury even is yet, because they haven't even fully shown the effects of that injury, like a concussion or even certain sprains and strains that are less severe but are present because the more severe things have been more prevalent, or they're 2-3 years down the line and they still have symptoms, they still have pain because they didn't learn how to move properly for their body and didn't have the right tools to help themselves at least feel strong and empowered, even if it isn't how they felt before the accident. So,
So, no, that's an awesome kind of explanation with what kind of you do with kind of movement, and like even yourself as a registered kinesiologist and kind of your principles and your ideology in terms of how you help people. So what I wanted to move on next was, now that we kind of talked about kind of your background story, how you got to where you are now, and what you sort of do currently in your role as a kinesiologist, I wanted to let you chat a little bit about your overall experience so far as a registered kinesiologist, or just a kinesiologist in your roles, and A lot of people on this show has kind of talked about how, yeah, it's more difficult at the beginning, but once you kind of find your population, it gets better. So I want you to kind of delve into kind of your overall experience so far as a kinesiologist.
Yeah. It's always tough kind of having a conclusion because you're just like, well, I have so many exciting things to say. At least I think so. And it's nice kind of being in this position where we've spoken before. So you kind of know mm-hmm. what you want to hear and what I've said before. So it's mm-hmm. that inside scoop. But so far, being a kinesiologist is a minefield because on the one hand, you kind of go in and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. There's so many different ways that we come to be. Either we mm-hmm. come right out of university, we play sports, we don't play sports at all, but we did a post-grad and we really care about cardiac rehab because our parent had an event or someone we know did. And our story makes mm-hmm. up so much of who we are. And I was kind of avoiding that for a while because I wanted to do everything for everybody. And I wanted to help everybody. And if you're trying to do everything, you're not really helping anybody because you're trying to be a jack of all trades when specializing on things where you excel the most really helps those people better and more, and you'll be able to reach more people. So yeah. What I've learned as a kinesiologist in this process, especially because like our profession, it's wild to me. I think about this all the time that our profession is only regulated in one province in the whole world.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah. Yeah.
So
if you
cool.
look up registered kinesiologist, like on, I remember looking on Wikipedia and it's just saying, yeah, like a kinesiology or no, sorry. I was looking up kinesiology on Wikipedia mm-hmm. and just like looking it up and in the world, it's like, yeah, only in Ontario since blah, blah, blah is it a regulated health profession? Nowhere else in the world is it? Mm-hmm. And I think that is a very unique value proposition that registered kinesiologists have in Ontario, that we can be a regulated health profession, mm-hmm. which is crazy.
Yeah, and it's wild because we have such an amazing opportunity to stand out and really own exercise as medicine and what that truly means for people, and also identifying that how to manage our scope of practice actually overlapping with others and how to work well with others, because it's so important to be able to help people in a sense of managing their interdisciplinary team instead of feeling like you have to be the only one. You need to be the star, you need to stand out, because it doesn't really work that way. And what I've really learned is that you need to kind of collaborate with people, whether it's the patient themselves or their team or other people, to be really able to identify where you fit in that scheme of healthcare. And I've talked to so many kinesiologists, and I'm sure literally everybody will say this because it's just so pivotal for the importance of our brand, essentially, is that we bridge the gap between rehab and exercise, and which really is a spectrum of where places we can work in. We can work in rehab, we can in acute, wards and be able to help people that have just been injured or on the field or with athletic therapists or like doctors even, and then being able to work in that fitness realm as well and everything in between mm-hmm. and being able to actually teach people how to own their bodies so that they can go to the physio and know which questions to ask or go to a gym and go to a fitness class and feel comfortable that they can participate without worrying about getting injured. Or if they do get hurt, they'll know a little bit about how to help themselves because they've been through this before, or they have the tools mm-hmm. to help themselves and it becomes easy. And we help create those tools for people so they have someone to ask that can give them an easy answer. But it really helps to build up that awareness and build up that relationship with people so they know you're the person to ask. And I feel like that's really where the, kinesiology is going, is being able to feel authoritative in our stance in terms of exercise as medicine, not trying to teach people exercise and do all the soft tissue and be this and be that. And trying to be everything to everybody, being a personal trainer and a physio and whatever. We are kinesiologists because we have that understanding about the biomechanics of the human body and how it relates to movement, and that can go anywhere. So I think we're in a really special position right now because since we're such a baby in terms of what our profession is, we have so much room to grow and we have so many mm-hmm. ways that we can kind of intercept the healthcare and fitness and lifestyle fields but also being able to identify that, like, you can work with different professions, you can work with different types of conditions, you can work with different types of injuries, like you can work with like children. Like, there's so many different ways and places that we can help people. But I think that the most important thing I'm learning is that once you can streamline your message, that's more than just exercise is medicine. There's going to be people that are looking for your help, and not just as a kinesiologist, just based on your message. And being a kinesiologist definitely lends a hand into the quality of care that you can provide. And I think by doing that, we're going to be, you know, front of mind in terms of our ability to intervene and provide care.
Yeah. Like with that. Yeah. That was good in terms of kind of talking about like your experience so far, and kind of you started to touch base on sort of the next thing that I wanted to talk about in terms of the future of kinesiology. Mm-hmm. And I know there you kind of talked about kind of setting, figuring out how to shift from being told what to do and kind of our authority and what we're able to do, and kind of bridging that gap between rehab and health. And so I think before we kind of go into more and what the future, what we think the future is, I know that is something that we're both kind of passionate about in terms of kinesiology as a profession. And I want you to kind of think about, when you answer this, being not like optimistic, but being more realistic in terms of where do you see the future of kinesiology going as a profession? Because I know, like, optimistically, both of us know, like, yes, kins can own exercises medicine, be that bridge between rehab and health. But let's say in the next 5-10 years, we'll say five, where do you see the future of kinesiology going as a profession?
I really see a lot of kinesiology as a profession really stemming from entrepreneurial people that are kinesiologists. And I think that we need to either identify that this takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of figuring out ourselves, and also really identifying the areas that we need experience in. And transitioning, as you said, from that being told what to do to feeling like you can stand on your own two feet, it's your choice to determine when that's right for you. And also, you have to make those hard decisions about taking chances on yourself. This last year has been incredibly difficult, learning how to stand on my own two feet. And I've been incredibly blessed and lucky to have such a wonderful support system to help me build and grow. But that might not always be the case. And I think that's really what it's less so about where the future of kinesiology is going. It's what we need to do in order to get there and make it easier for the generation after us. And I think that's so important. Like, people that have been kinesiologists before the college even became to be have kind of paved the way for us in terms of creating options for education and really taking those opportunities to find educational opportunities that are going to give you that next step to be able to tell you what you need to do. And I think ultimately the one thing that is the most important to me is shifting your mind from needing that validation and needing someone to tell you who you are and what you need to do and who your identity is, and finding that for yourself and really starting to take a look at who am I, what do I want to do, and where am I going next? Because there's so many kinesiologists I know that have just been diligent and have had that grit to persevere despite the college being new and our profession being underdeveloped and us not knowing what we wanted. And those people are the leaders now of our industry. Like, I just think of somebody that was in my post-grad program, two people actually, like Jacob Farouge and Debbie Velado, I think. And they started this company. It was TrainSmart. And watching the evolution of their company has just been inspiring for the last, like, you know, 7 years, because Jacob's been able to take all of his experience in the fitness industry and relate it to all different areas of health and wellness and rehab and terms of cardiac rehab and wellness, and being able to see their, influence grow and then build a team is just something that's just so, I think it really just creates the future. It shows us the future, and it also shows us how hard work, dedication, and continually to learn really just and implement as soon as you learn. You can learn as much as you want, but until you start to implement, there won't be any changes. So that one I didn't prepare, but I just thought of that right now, and I was like, it's what they're like watching the evolution of that from somewhere where I started, is just so cool to see how far they've come, and I'm hoping to get to that point someday too. So
And I know their TrainSmart Wellness was one of the people that I knew before graduating and writing the exam, because I believe someone, a family member, told my mom that there was this place called TrainSmart Wellness that was owned by kinesiologists, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. So I did research into it. I haven't really talked to Jacob and Debbie that much, but they're definitely people that I would want to be on the show and kind of talk with them. But I agree with you in terms of we need those kind of, not like so much entrepreneurial Arkins, but like those authority figures in the space to kind of set the tone for future generations that come in and kind of, I guess, be more entrepreneurial and start that business and kind of take a lead, like more in like thought leadership in the space. So then people feel more comfortable with kind of coming into the space, knowing that there's other people that are doing it and they're openly doing it, and you can see that. So any new students or new Arkins coming into this can kind of be like, okay, they came from the same school or came from the same program, and they are able to start a successful business or start something that they're passionate about, and they're doing it, right? And I think that's really important, is to, just like this podcast, is kind of put those stories out there so other people feel encouraged and inspired to kind of take that leap and kind of create that thing that maybe they're kind of uncertain about. So this is definitely something that I haven't talked too much about, was, yeah, having those kind of leaders in our kin space, kinesiology space, Ontario,
For
kind of
sure.
really putting themselves out there so others can see that and, I mean, be inspired by it. And then as we start to create kind of more traction and talk, the newcomers will be coming in and start, and then the public will start to understand kinesiology a little bit better once it's kind of out there a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see as well, because when I spoke to you, I think it was about a year ago. I think I'd either just left my job or was in the pro was it was coming to the end of it, and I'm in a completely different mindset and place now in terms of kind of where the trajectory of my business is going, and really being able to own that that's an option for us. And I think it's in when I was in my doing my post grad, and I'd met, all of these people in different stages of kind of their professional growth. It really I realize now how little I knew. And what really held me back the most was feeling like I needed all the answers before I could start. And I needed to be able to know exactly what I needed to do. And what really has inspired me about all of these like people that are just going for it and doing it and just building like these amazing programs for people that can really help them is that they've just continued to push forward, regardless of what people told them, regardless of what the expectation was, regardless of how clearly defined the line and the rules were. And I think that that's really going to set a standard for kinesiologists moving forward in terms of we have unlimited potential. We just need to start exploring that now. And we need to start showing people, showing up for people in the way that we can. So I think that that's really important. So, yeah.
So with that in mind, kind of leading up to the kind of the last part here, I want you to kind of talk a little bit about, I know before, because you kind of talked that you like to help educate students and kind of mentor them. So I want you to take this opportunity now to kind of pretend that you were talking to a kinesiology student that was thinking about writing an exam, and the advice that you give, it doesn't necessarily need to be on the exam, like, oh, you should study this long, this topic. That was something confusing that I've had on this chat, was people thought I was asking, looking for advice for the exam. No, just kinesiology students in general, that are potentially looking at writing the kin exam, or like advice that you have for any new or prospective RKINs that are maybe listening now, and or other ones that you've had, and you've kind of given this advice to them and they've kind of taken it well. So I'll let you kind of take the floor with that.
Yeah. I think like the best thing that I've always done and will continue to do is continue to be a learner, continue to talk to people, and implement now. As soon as you learn something, teach it to someone else. As soon as you learn something, implement it into your business. Because the longer you wait to start to implement, the longer it'll take to actually build up those skills. And I think that that's so important to really being able to own your value. And by surrounding yourself with other people that really kind of are starting, either know where they're at or know where they're going, it really helps give you direction as well, and kind of breaks down those barriers of authority, and it breaks down the barriers of feeling like you're too far away from being able to be where you want to be. And it really just comes down to knowing your value and not just accepting things because it's the first thing that comes along. There's so much opportunity that being able to get this experience now, even if it's not the ideal job that you wanted right away, being able to talk to people, even if it's, you know, costs a little bit of money, or being able to, or it's difficult to plan, really being able to connect with people that you value, and to get to just to not feel as reliant on that as well. So I think that, like, when it comes to, like, I've had about like 3 interns, I think, from the past that have written the exam and passed. And a lot of it's really just comes down to, if you really love to teach and really love to educate, kinesiology is for you. And really being able, and regardless of where you fit on that spectrum of kinesiology, whether it's in rehab, fitness, to who knows where we're going to go, because exercise is kind of seeps in everywhere. Being able to kind of identify where your interests lie and who you are as a person can make such a huge difference as well. So I don't think it's a hard question about whether or not you should register. I think it's a question of, what do you want to be able to do after? And what is your impact that you want to have on the world? And really being able to take tangible steps to get there. And for a long time, I avoided that because it just seemed like too much. But now we're sitting where I am right now. It has to happen, and you have to try and have to continue to take those steps, regardless of how scary it seems, because they will get you to where you need to be, even if it's not what you expected.
No, for sure. I think that leaves a lot of value for people that are not just kinesiology students, but students in general, trying to find and know your own value and kind of eventually implementing it out there. One last thing I wanted to kind of chat with you, and I guess we sort of talked a little bit about it before, about like Jacob and Debbie, and doesn't have to be necessarily them, but I want to give you an opportunity to kind of let any of the, because this is probably the part where more of the students or new Arkans will be listening, if there's an interesting person or page that you follow or book that you read that you think other kin should know about. Doesn't have to be exercise related. It could be more business or anything interesting that maybe you've come across recently that students should know about.
Ooh, that's interesting. So I've done a bunch of business courses. I've done a bunch of like exercise courses. There's so much stuff that I think is so important out there to really be able to give you that well-rounded awareness of how to kind of act professionally. I think that's a tough one. I have so many people. Like
you have so many pages and people and courses and things. But like, was the very first thing that you talked about? Like, what was one thing right off the top of your head that you kind of were like, okay, yes, this is something other kin should know?
That's a good question. Obviously the movement maven. She seems pretty cool.
Okay.
no.
I'm gonna cut that out.
That's fine.
Okay.
how dare you? No.
No.
I think that one of the most influential people probably in my life is some, one of my professors from university, Lori Bayless, who taught me intro to biomechanics and then clinical biomechanics. And she always and she said in our first year, in our sorry, it was our second year course, intro to biomechanics, that everything I'm going to teach you all the rules. And in clinical biomechanics, in 2 years from now, I'm going to show you why all of the rules are need to be broken. I'm very bad at paraphrasing, but that's along the lines of what she said, and that has continued to prove itself. And in terms of that, like I really think that being able to stay in contact with people that you've met along the way and being able to kind of look back at those people, like the number one person that I've started following that is amazing to me is Stuart McGill, 100%. He is Instagram, and I did not know that, and I'm super excited about
Yeah,
it.
he just started that like during like this COVID quarantine.
Yeah, so he has
Like
that. He has like all this stuff, and it's amazing. And then there's also like a bunch of businesses out there right now that are working on helping what's it called? Helping health professionals kind of figure out their brand and their business. And there's two that come to mind for me. There's one, Megan Walker is a naturopathic doctor, and she helps people build their online brands and online code on their online programs. And Stephanie Claremont is a dietitian, I believe. And they have two different, they each have their own business that actually helps people build their programs. And it's really cool to hear their stories. And they have so much like free content out there just to kind of see right now whether that's an option for them. Because that's kind of where the world is going is in terms of coaching and being able to integrate online is being able to learn from those that have had successful businesses in those areas.
For sure.
So from that, you know, educational sense, same with yoga. Yoga's awesome. Learning to teach yoga from a biomechanical sense kind of fast tracks that yoga awareness as well, whether you've taught yoga before or you haven't. I've never taught yoga. I could barely feel like I could do yoga. And then I took this course and I felt like I could do it and teach it in a way that not a class and nor do I feel like I have any ownership over it, but at the same time, like it taught me how to really be there and show up for my patients that wanted to get back into yoga. Being able to take the metric course and really understand how the functional capacity evaluations and relate to the physical demands and the people that go around it. Like even just following people on Instagram like Move You and Doc Gen Fit are just like
Yeah,
so
move you.
inspiring
Yeah,
and
yeah.
hilarious, like so fun to watch Move You's videos. I could
Yeah,
go on and on, like being able
for
to
sure.
like, you know, really figure out what you want and really the thing, it's so weird because once you start to put things out into the world, that starts to give it back to you. So the amount of like targeted Instagram ads I've had just from being on, like being in these like more business worlds. There's this like company called Advance Your Reach that focuses on helping people kind of own stages and now virtual stages, and how to really like convey your message. And there's just so much stuff. Like it's just sometimes it's
Yeah.
overwhelming, but
No, that was a good
I had
list.
to think about that one
Yeah.
because I was just like, ooh, like
Yeah.
there's so many awesome people. And at the same time, it has to be kind of a variety of people that you can learn from, but also people that are accessible. Like, who are people that you can actually like take their content and actually talk to? So I think that that's really cool. I'm also personally doing Angela Pereira's 90-day mentorship program, so I'll be able to speak to that a little bit more 90 days from now. But
Nice.
that's kind of I think where a lot of the there's a lot more mentorship now for students, and I think that being able to invest in yourself is has always been the best investment. But I'm starting to learn that now more than ever. And I've invested in a lot of different things over the last year in terms of building up myself, and my
Yeah.
strength as a business person. So,
Yeah, that's half the job is yes, you want to be the clinician, but also you have to learn to be the business person
yeah.
when you're kind of being a little bit more entrepreneur, and that's something That's why I wanted you to kind of speak there at the end there to kind of give some advice, and just like different people and pages and things that you follow that you've found influential for you on your journey. Because I'm sure individuals like myself, individuals that are other students, that are kind of trying to figure out what they want to do, those will be kind of good resources for them to kind of look at and see if that's stuff that they like, and that, yeah, it's not just all the clinical best exercises pages that you need to follow, but also different business ones. And like you have there with the Advance Your Reach, and you talked about that you went to that kind of online conference this weekend and to kind of talk about talking to an audience. So like stuff like that is important that you don't really get taught in school beyond already the clinical stuff that you're trying to find. So I just wanted to for sure just let you kind of talk about that, because I know there's lots of cool and interesting pages that you follow.
I've also learned just from this whole experience that, like, because I watch so much stand-up comedy, that it actually has affected my communication skills in a good way, where I've been able to actually, like, the way that I perform and the way that I communicate with people is heavily influenced by a lot of the stand-up comedians that I watch. So it's interesting because you can take so much of your interest and your passion and make it your work. And they always say, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, even though what they don't talk about is how stressful it is anyways. So that's okay.
So before, last thing before we kind of finish up and we kind of say our thank yous and I do my closing monologue, I want you to just tell me one stand-up comedian that you love.
John Mulaney.
John
my
Mulaney.
Favorite.
I think I've heard him. Okay, I'll have to write that
he's
down.
He's great. I love him. I think he's amazing. Okay. I've seen him live, I think, four or five times.
That's awesome.
Watched his specials over and over again, like at least like 10 to 15 times each. Like,
that's great.
I just think he's great. There's so many good ones, though. It's just, I love to laugh. So,
yeah. No, thank you so much, Jamie, for taking the time out today to come onto the podcast. I actually like this recording better,
I feel,
because we chat a lot more and kind of discuss things.
Yeah.
So that worked out. So everything happens for a reason. So yes, again, thank you so much, Jamie, for coming on the podcast today. I know all the listeners will love your stories and all the wisdom that you shared. And hopefully they liked the little discussion that we had there at the end. So I just wanted to say thank you there.
Yeah, no problem.
And lastly, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. Thanks for taking your time out today to listen to this full episode. I look forward to releasing more podcast interviews in the near future. So if you know of any other RKIN or registered kinesiologists that would be an awesome fit for this podcast, they can email me at makingconnections@gmail.com. Also, any other comments, questions, concerns, can be directed at our LinkedIn and Facebook page, both at Making Connections Podcasts. And links for everything that we talked about today, whether that's the comedians, whether that's the different pages that we talked about, the different courses, will all be in the show notes of the podcast. So thank you for listening and stay safe out there from the Making Connections team. I want to thank everyone for listening today. I really appreciate you taking the time out to listen to the entire full podcast. If you liked what you listened to today and want to hear more, please subscribe to the Making Connections podcast on whichever platform you're listening on now. And remember to like us on Facebook and LinkedIn pages.